I thought we would spend these next couple of weeks focusing on Sfiras HaOmer and Pirkei Avos. Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot to think about. So I thought tonight we would focus on the first four words of Pirkei Avos. As you probably know, there's a minhag Yisrael, an ancient minhag, to study Pirkei Avos during these weeks. And I want to begin tonight literally with just the first four words of the first mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Of course, the whole mission is that Moshe got the Torah on Har Sinai, and Moshe transmitted the Torah to Yeshua, and Yeshua to the Zakenim, the Zakenim to the Nevi'im, the Nevi'im to the Anshei Knesset Sagadola, and they said their famous three things: you should be patient and diligent in your judgment, you should have many students, and you should make a fence around the Torah. But I want to ask a question that's been asked by many tzaddikim throughout the generations. On the very first four words, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe got the Torah from Sinai. And the question, if you translate the word literally, is a very obvious question. Right? Moshe did not get the Torah from Sinai. Moshe, at least according to my understanding of Jewish tradition, got the Torah from God. Moshe got the Torah from Hashem. Right? Every letter matters. There's a better way to write this Mishnah. Moshe kibel Torah, Me Hashem, Me Kodesh Baruch Hu, Me Elukim, whatever name, pick a name of God that you want. Last I checked, Sinai is not one of the names of Hashem. This is a question that was asked already 500 years ago by the Maharal, in this parish on Pirkei Avos, called Derech Chaim. Many tzaddikim of Chassidus asked the question. They told us Yaakov Yosef, which is the first Chassidus Yosefer ever written. In Parshas Vayakel asked the question. The Kedushas Levi asked the question. The Avodas Yisrael, the Kedushas Magid asked the question. So many Sefer Chassidus asked the question. If you're more of a Mesnagid, you can also ask the question. The Vilna Gaon's Talmud Muvak, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in his parish on Pirkei Avos, Ruach Chaim asked the question, right? What does Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai mean? And more or less, they all explain the same yesod. And that is, Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai, how would you translate Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai? Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai, Moshe got the Torah. If you're wondering, what was it about Moshe that made him the one to be the transmitter of Torah? What did Hashem love about Moshe? The Torah tells us. The Torah tells us what Hashem loved about Avram. Avram was very good at educating his children. That's the praise the Torah gives Avram Avinu. So what's the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu? What made Moshe so great? So great that not only does he give us the Torah, but the Navi refers to the Torah, Zichru Toras Moshe. The Torah is called Toras Moshe. It's called Moshe's book. Imagine someone writes this unbelievable book, this amazing bestseller, and imagine someone else comes and says, oh, I'm going to put my name on the cover also. It's not your sefer. It's Hashem's words. And yet we don't just call it Toras Hashem, which we also call it, but we call it Toras Moshe. The Navi calls it Zichru Toras Moshe. Remember the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you're trying to figure out, what did Moshe do? How did Moshe become worthy of being the transmitter of Torah? Oh, so you'll say, Moshe, he must have been a very great tzaddik. It's true. Noach's called a tzaddik. Torah doesn't seem to call Moshe a tzaddik. Maybe Moshe's really smart. Maybe that's why he's picked. He's the most learned. Doesn't seem to emphasize that in the Torah either. Maybe Moshe is a really charismatic person, a good speaker. We know that Moshe struggled with a speech impediment. Maybe Moshe's very wealthy. Maybe that's how he worked his way to the top. Not emphasized by the Torah. The Torah emphasizes in Parshas Baal Oscha, what is the character trait of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is Anav Ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu is exceedingly humble for all the people in the world. And it's that humility that makes Moshe the one who becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's friend, so to speak, as the Pasuk calls him, as the Rambam paraphrases, the one who speaks to Hashem Pe'al Peh, the one who reaches the highest madrigos of nevuah, of vision, of spiritual vision, and it's all because Moshe Rabbeinu was humble. So all these tzaddikim, the Maharal says actually a little bit different, but the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, and the Kedushas Levi, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner, they all say, Moshe kibel Torah. You want to know why Moshe got the Torah? What did he do? How did he earn the Torah? How did he become the chosen one? The answer is, Mi Sinai. The way to translate it is, from the fact that he was like Har Sinai. Moshe made himself like Har Sinai. Moshe looked at Har Sinai, as the Gemara describes. Why was Har Sinai? Every Jewish person who had a Jewish education at a young age has heard this before. Chazal and the Gemara, the Medrash also elaborates a little bit, that Moshe Rabbeinu, right? What did he see in Har Sinai? Har Sinai is a humble mountain, right? A humble mountain, of all the mountains, the haughty mountains, Har Sinai in its great humility, was selected. So Moshe Kibel Torah. How did Moshe come to receive the Torah? Mi Sinai. He looked at Har Sinai and said, look, if Har Sinai could get the Torah, even though it's such a small and humble mountain, if Hashem wants to give the Torah to such an item, such a thing in the world that's so shafel, that's so lowly, so Moshe looked at himself and said, I'm also very lowly, I'm also very simple, I'm also not anything special. And because of that humility, he learned from Har Sinai, that unbelievable humility, and because of that, Moshe became worthy of receiving the Torah. But there are remez, you could say different things, the Sfarim bring, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, the gematria of the word Sinai, is the same gematria as the word anava, which means humility. I saw from the Scalia Rebbe, Zatzal, a parish called Divrei Baruch, he says, mi Sinai is gematria anav ma'od, the way that the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's clear what's being hinted to us. Moshe kibel Torah, why did Moshe receive the Torah? Mi Sinai, from the fact that he was like Sinai. The truth is, there's another hint to this in the opening words, just those very first four words of Pirkei Avos. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. A little respect, no? Moshe? You call him Moshe? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe you call him Moshe Rabbeinu? He's not our friend, he's not our buddy. Moshe kibel Torah. We always call him Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah, God can call him Moshe. Hashem can call him Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. But we don't call them by those names. Moshe Rabbeinu, Avram Avinu, Sarah Imenu. We add a title of honor to these great tzaddikim, to these righteous people who taught us Torah, who taught us about God. So why is he just called plain old Moshe in the opening mission of Pirkei Avos? And why does Pirkei Avos begin with a lesson in humility? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wants to teach us that if you're going to be successful in Torah, and if you're going to be successful in Tikkun Amidos in all of Pirkei Avos, it starts with humility. Moshe says, I don't want to be called Moshe Rabbeinu in Pirkei Avos. I don't need the honor, I don't need the titles. This is an explanation that I saw on the Sefer Lechem Shemayim, the commentary on Pirkei Avos by Rav Yaakov Emden. He says, Lo Amru Kan Moshe Rabbeinu, Kamo B'makom Acher. It doesn't call him Moshe Rabbeinu here. Plain Moshe. Lirmos Shebishvil An Vasanusa HaGadola. It was because of his great humility. It was because he didn't care about the fact that he was Rabbeinu. I don't need to be called Rabbeinu. I'd rather just be called plain Moshe. Ki Lo Chafetz B'Shem Toar Hamayla. He didn't want a title. And that again is exactly Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai, from the fact that he was like Har Sinai. The truth is, I'll go one step further on what Rav Yaakov Emden says. Because the term Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it's a title of great honor, is already itself an expression of humility. The Maharal's brother, whose name was Rav Chaim, wrote a sefer called the Sefer HaChaim. And in the Sefer HaChaim, he points out something so interesting. He says, did you ever notice that when we add a title to a great person, a distinguished spiritual person, we place the title after their name? We don't call him Rabbeinu Moshe, we call him Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't call him Avinu Yaakov, we call him Yaakov Avinu. We don't call him Hanavi Yeshaya, we call him Yeshaya Hanavi. Why is the title placed after their name? So Rav Chaim, the brother of the Maharal, explains in the Sefer HaChaim, because again, the title is an afterthought. I'm more Moshe than I am Rabbeinu. I'm more Yirmiyah than I am Navi. I'm more Yitzchak than I am Avinu. That I'm not interested in the title. The title comes afterwards. I shared this, I mentioned this week to my 9th grade girls class at Nala High School for Girls. And one of the girls said, Rebbe, I'll bring you a proof from Megillas Esther. Beautiful proof. Esther Hamalka versus Hamalka Vashti, Hamelech Achashverosh. By the Umas Ha'olam, they want that title up front. I need everyone to know. Yeah, I need everyone to know my title, that title of honor. By the tzaddikim, it's an afterthought. And that's why they were so great. Because it's Moshe first and foremost, and then Rabbeinu. So look how many layers of humility you have in this opening Mishnah. Again, to call him Moshe Rabbeinu in general is a humble statement. To call him just plain Moshe is that much more humble. And Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, if you want to know why Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who received the Torah, it's because mi Sinai. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu understood that without humility, there is no Torah. That without the midah of humility, a person can't perfect any of one's midos. And that's why Pirkei Avos begins the way that it begins. I'll just point out later, since this week is the first parak, we're only doing the first four words tonight, so I'll point out later in the parak We have an interesting Mishnah that also highlights this idea. I saw an idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It says, Shimon beno Omer. Shimon, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, said the following. It's Mishnah Yud Zayin in the first parak. Kol yamai gadalti ben hachachamim. My whole life I grew up amongst the sages. V'lo matzasi leguf tov elishtika. And I found there was nothing better for the body than being silent. Meaning, when you're in the presence of great people, just sit quietly and listen. You don't have to always hear yourself. Right? I want to learn from others. I'm working with the assumption that everyone else has more information to share with me than I have to share with them. So Shimon, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, Shimon Beno, used to say, I grew up amongst great people, and I learned very quickly that if I want to become a successful person, it's better to sit quietly. To have the humility not to always have something to say, but to just sit and to listen and to try to absorb the lessons of others. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe pointed out, why is he called Shimon in this Mishnah? Shimon Beno, Shimon his son. Shimon the son of Rabban Gamliel, better known to us as Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. And in the next Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah right after this, you know how he's introduced? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. So why in this Mishnah is he just called Shimon Beno, Shimon the son of Rabban Gamliel? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, because that's exactly his point. His whole point in this Mishnah is what? That when you're amongst Chachamim, don't try to exert yourself. Don't try to say, oh, I'm Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. No, I'm just Shimon his son. I'm Shimon the son of someone who's greater than me. That's exactly the point he's trying to make. And again, this becomes a key to being successful in all aspects of Torah. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Daf Yud Zayin, Ein Mayim El Torah. Water is synonymous with Torah, and Torah is synonymous with water. Torah is compared to water. Why is Torah compared to water? The Gemara says in Tanis that just like water will always trickle down to the lowest point, so when my beloved son Yaakov spilled his cup of water at dinner tonight, it started off on the tablecloth. From there, it made its way to the chair. From the chair, it made its way to the floor, it made its way into the floor, right? So water will always gravitate to the lowest point. So too, Torah also attracts itself to those who make themselves humble. So Moshe Rabbeinu looks at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Har Sinai is a humble mountain, and therefore, I want to be like Har Sinai. And he was like Har Sinai, and because of that, Moshe becomes the one to receive the Torah. Again, humility is the root of all midos. We actually spoke about this once here, about a year and a half ago when we were learning the Igeres HaRamban. And we spoke about how one can maybe argue that anava, humility, is really the root of every single midah tova that a Jew desires. And that's what's hinted to by this opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. We know again that there's a minhag to study Pirkei Avos this time of the year. The Ramah, in his comments on Shulchan Aruch and Simen Reish Sadi Beis, says that in the summer, there's a minhag to study Pirkei Avos between Mincha and Maariv. Right? I guess we're sort of entering into the summer season, say, same bracha now, as opposed to the same Talu Matar. But more than that, other Sfarim say, dafka between Pesach and Shavuos, during these weeks, as we prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, we're working on our midos. So coming out of Pesach, on the way to Shavuos, we learn Pirkei Avos. But I want to think about it a little bit more. Why is this Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, a really nice continuation of what we were working on Pesach? Pesach is the Yom Tov of Matzah. And what is the key difference, the Sfarim explained, between a world of Matzah and a world of Chametz? Matzah, again, is a symbol of humility. Matzah is so simple. Matzah, like the Baal HaTanya and so many others explained, is flat, it's plain, it's simple. And that's why matzah is called the bread of faith, the Mechla D'Mamnusa. It's so pashut. It's able to be mevatel itself to God. As opposed to the chametz, which is so inflated, has so many additives, right? Thinks it's more than it really is. Yeah? The world of matzah represents that world of humility. So how fitting it is that when you start Pirkei Avos right after Pesach, you begin Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. Moshe got the Torah because he was humble like Har Sinai. Again, you know I like a matcha. It's just B'derech HaRemez. I saw Rav Avram Shor brings a beautiful Remez. He says that we know Rabbi Gamliel taught us in the Haggadah, right, really in the Mishnah, in Pesachas Pesachim, that anyone who doesn't say Pesach Matzo Maror, lo yatzi yedei chovaso. So the Sfarim talk about Pesach, Matzah, and Mar. That's what Pesach is all about. Each one, really, in a Pesach, Matzah, and Mar, each one in a certain way can teach us a lesson of humility. I'm focusing on Matzah for the moment. But each one expresses a degree of humility. In the fourth Pirkei Avos, we have the most open statement about being a humble person. Rav Levitas Ish Yavna Omer. have a ma'od ma'od shafal ruach. A person should be ma'od ma'od shafal ruach, should be very, very humble. The Ben Ish Chai actually asked the question. If a person is supposed to be very, very humble, so why does the Torah say about Moshe Rabbeinu that he's just very humble? Is he not on the level of very, very humble? He's only very humble. So the Ben Ish Chai, the great Sephardi Chacham from Baghdad, said, no, you know what it means? Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu had the basic level of Pirkei Avos, very, very humble. Moshe Rabbeinu was very humble on top of that. He was very, very, very humble. So the Ben Ish Chai explains. Again, there's a lot to, sounds like a silly answer, but there's a lot of depth to that answer for another time. So Moshe Rabbeinu is very, very, very humble. Rav Levitas Ish Yavna says, for everyone, Pirkei Avos, for regular people, you should be able to at least be, have a ma'od, ma'od, shafal ruach. At least try to be very, very humble. So Rav Avram Shor, Shlita, points out in one of his svarim, that Pesach Matzah Umaror is Gematria have a ma'od, ma'od, shafal ruach. Exactly, 735. Because Pesach is a training course in humility. That's what Matzah represents. Be simple, be humble. Be mavata yourself. Vigarata levincha. A parent transmits something to a child, and the child wants to receive. The child makes himself a listener on the night of the Seder to receive the Mesorah. If you're not going to listen, if you're going to show up like the Rosh and say, what is this business? You're not going to get anywhere. But if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to humble yourself, you can accomplish the essence of the night of the Seder, which is Pesach Matzah Umar. One more remez. In the Shai Lemora, he brings an interesting remez. He says, we know, the Torah says about Sfiras HaOmer, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, you should count 50 days. Which of course means up to 50 days. So he says, how many hours are there in Sfiras HaOmer? How many hours are there in 50 days? Right? And that's what the Torah says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom. Again, we only count 49, right? But how many hours are there in 50 days? So 50 times 24 is 1,200. There's 1,200 hours in Sfiras HaOmer. So amazing. The Sefer Shai Lemora points out, Tisperu Chamishim Yom is a gematria 1,200. Because there's 1,200 hours in Sefiras HaOmer. But then he says, also the Pasuk in Tehillim, that again reminds us of humility, Lev Nishbar V'nidke Elokim Lo Sivzeh, a person who's humble, who's brokenhearted, who's submissive to the Creator of the world and says, Hashem, I need a lot of help from you. Hashem says, I would never reject such a person. Lev Nishbar V'nidke Elokim Lo Sivzeh is also gematria 1,200. So Sfiras HaOmer, this whole process, again, Pirkei Avos, the first Mishnah is going to contain within it sort of the roadmap for everything that's yet to come. So the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avos is emphasizing humility. Okay, good. I think I made the point. So let's ask another question on the same four words that we started with. Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai. Moshe got the Torah because he's so humble like Har Sinai. Nu, so ask another question. God, you want to teach a lesson in humility. Moshe looked at this little mountain and said, oh, little mountain, wow, Hashem rejected all the big haughty mountains and chose a little mountain. In the Likutei Torah and Parshas Bamidbar, the Alter Rebbe asks a simple question. So if you want to teach that Torah represents humility, so why give the Torah on a mountain at all? Why not give the Torah in a valley? Why not give the Torah in a flat plain? It's like a total, you know, contradiction of terms. Hashem wants to give the Torah in a humble place. So Hashem picked the smallest of the mountains. Har Sinai is a humble mountain. Whatever that metaphor means. Whatever it means that Har Sinai was a humble mountain. But the Likutei Torah asks in Parshas Bamidbar, you want to teach that Torah is humble, so give the Torah in a cavern, in a deep valley. You know? Go down to a low place. Like I told you, the Gemara says water trickles down to a low place. So why give the Torah on a mountain? That's question number one, as again, the follow-up question to what we've learned so far, that Torah is supposed to represent humility. Why give the Torah on a mountain? I want to ask a whole bunch of questions and then try to answer them with one yisod. Okay? So I'm going to ask a couple of questions. For those who are taking notes, I have six questions for you this evening. Question number one, again, we just learned that Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, Torah requires humility to be properly absorbed. So why on earth would Hashem pick a humble mountain? Why not pick a huge hole in the ground? Question number one. Question number two, a fascinating question from the Majid Sarebi. What was the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu probably felt the most chashuv in his life, the most empowered? Probably at that moment when he's selected by Hashem to receive the Torah. Now if you remember, we learned a couple weeks ago, right before Purim, that the word Vayikra has a small aleph. And if you remember what Rashi explained, what the Baal Turim explained, what we learned about, that small aleph represents Moshe's humility. Moshe said, Vayikra, God called to me? Who am I that God should call to me? Moshe wanted it to look like it says Vayikar, like it says by Bilam. Hashem happened upon him. I ran into Hashem in the supermarket, and then we started talking. Not that Hashem selected me. So the Vayikra that begins, Chumash Vayikra, has a small aleph to represent that humility. So the Majid Tzarebi, one of the later Majid Tzarebis in the Imre Eish, in his Sefer Imre Eish, asked the question. The Vayikra that begins Chumash Vayikra has a small aleph. So can I ask you, what about this Vayikra? What about this other word Vayikra? How about in Parshas Yisro, Umoshe Allah Ela Elokim, Moshe goes up alone, selected to ascend the mountain to a place where no one else goes. Vayikra Elav Hashem Minahar. And Hashem calls to him from the mountain. Why does that Vayikra not have a small aleph? You want to teach the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. You want to teach how important it is that when you're receiving Torah, you should be humble. So why didn't the Vayikra Elav Hashem Minahar, says the Imre Eish, the Majid Tzarebi, why is that aleph not small? You want to make a small aleph to make a point. That should have been the small aleph. Question number two. Question number three. Okay, now so you'll see some of the questions are more obviously connected, some less so. But I want to put all six questions out and try to answer them with one general yesod. Question number three. We also know that the period that we're in right now, Sfiras HaOmer, the Gemara tells us, is when the 12,000 pairs, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva passed away. The Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. Why did the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva pass away? Says the Gemara, "Bepnei shelo nahagu kavod zelaza." They didn't treat each other with respect. Yeah. So the question I want to ask you is, what does that have to do? How does that dafka connect? As the Gemara says that they died between Pesach and Shavuos. What does the fact that they didn't treat each other with respect, that they didn't have kavod for each other, specifically kavod? What does that have to do with dying between Pesach and Shavuos? I mean, the Gemara seems to make a point as if those things are connected. Again, we could think of some simple connections, but let's try to understand it a little bit deeper. Why dafka did they die during this period, and how does it connect to the crime of lo nagu kavod zeh lazeh, that they didn't treat each other with respect? Okay? That's question number three. Question number four. Another Sfiras HaOmer question. One of the halachos of Sfiras HaOmer, for those who are counting, you should make sure that you're aware of this halacha, is that Sfiras HaOmer needs to be recited while standing. What's the source for such an idea? The Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, when it talks about Sfiras HaOmer, it says, Shiva Shavuos Tispor Lach, you should count 7 weeks for yourself, Me'achel Chermesh Bekama, from the time we begin to harvest the standing stalk, Kama means the standing grain, Tochel Lispor Shiva Shavuos, you should begin to count 7 weeks. Says the Medrash Psikta, Mehechel Chermesh Bekama, from the time that you begin to harvest the standing stalks, says the Medrash, Kama Klomar Bekoma. When you count Sfiras HaOmer, it should be done Bekoma Zakufa. You should be standing tall, you should be standing erect. You can't sit down for Sfiras HaOmer. It's one of the mitzvahs that you need to stand for. And the Gemara elsewhere makes connections just like you stand for Sfiras HaOmer. The Medrash says you have to stand for other mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs that have to perform while standing, such as Bris Milah and other things. Okay, interesting. Certain mitzvahs require standing. Sfiras HaOmer requires standing. A person recites Sfiras HaOmer Bekoma Zakufa. Really? You dafka have to be Bekoma Zakufa? Koma Zakufa, that's something that we're very frightened of. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, Al Yahalech Bekoma Zakufa. A person should never walk Bekoma Zakufa. A person should never stand up too tall with an outstretched neck. Why? The Amar Mar, Hamahalech Bekoma Zakufa Afilu Arba Amos. If you walk even 4 steps, Bekoma Zakufa, standing erect, standing up tall, Ki'ilu Dochek Ragle Shechina. It's as if you're pushing Hashem's feet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, wants to stand in this world. And when you take up too much space, you're pushing the Shechina away. The Ragle Shechina, the feet of the Shechina, whatever that, you know, whatever that image represents. You're pushing Hashem away. As the Pasuk says, Molo Chol Haaretz Kavodo. So why would we dafka want to stand? Sfiras HaOmer is a very holy mitzvah. It's our way to work our way up to Kabbalah Satorah. We just came out of Mitzrayim. Koma Zakufa. That's something to be avoided at all times. Do you know that the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins this way? A Jew shouldn't walk around with an outstretched neck. In fact, there's a tshuva from the Maharshal, Rav Shlomo Luria. He said there were Jews in Germany that he was very annoyed with. And he was annoyed with them because they were very particular in Germany to make sure that they always went b'kisoy rosh, with their heads covered. Now, that's a fairly accepted Jewish practice, that men wear yarmulkes, that men cover their head. But says the Maharshal in a tshuva, he says, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the truth is, it only became an accepted practice. It wasn't always a given that Jews went with something on their head. And in fact, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says, Asur leilech b'koma zakufa, it's asur to walk around standing up tall with an outstretched neck. And also, lo yeilech arba amos b'gile rosh. And it's also preferable not to walk around with your head uncovered. So the Marshal wrote a sharp tshuva of Musar to the Jews, to those German Jews he was critical of. And he said, all of you are so particular about making sure that your head is covered. That part of the Shulchan Aruch you do. But he said, you're all a bunch of balei gaiva. He felt that that particular community that he was writing to, everyone there was bekoma zakufa. They thought too much of themselves. They were very self-absorbed. And he says to them, the halacha says, it's usur, you're so particular about wearing a yarmulke, that's more of a minhag. It's become an accepted minhag. It's become halacha. But the Shulchan Aruch says, usur, it's usur to be a bal gaiva. It's usur to walk around with an outstretched neck. So how could it be dafka during Sviras HaOmer? It's dafka, the source of the mitzvah, that you have to walk around standing up tall. Such a strange thing. That's question number four. Two more questions very quickly about the psukim of Sviras HaOmer and Parshas Emor. Question number five and question M, Mim Shabbos, my bar mitzvah parsha, I know this pasuk. Usvartim lachem mimachar as hashab, miyom aviyachem as haomer atanufa, sheva shabbosos timimos tiyano. After Shabbos, usvartim lachem, you should start counting Sviras HaOmer. I want to ask two questions on those words. After Shabbos, he starts counting Sviras HaOmer. What does Shabbos mean in this pasuk? Usvartim lachem mimachar as hashabbos. When do we count Sviras? When do we start counting Sviras? On the second night of Pesach. So what does mimachras hashabbos mean? We have to think like Eretz Yisrael Jews who keep one Seder, one day of Yom Tov. Mimachras hashabbos, the Gemara says, means after the first day of resting, meaning after the, what are we calling it? Shabbos doesn't mean Shabbos. Shabbos means Yom Tov. After the first day of Pesach, which is a Shabbos, a day of Shvisa, a Yom Tov, mimachras hashabbos, the second day of Pesach, you start counting Sviras HaOmer. So I'll ask you a simple question. Why does the Torah dafki here by the Yom Tov of Pesach, and specifically in the context of Sviras HaOmer, why does the Torah refer to Pesach as Shabbos? Why use a code word? Why use the code word Shabbos as a code word for the Yom Tov of Pesach? Again, we can explain it. Mimachras HaShabbos means the day after you rest. On the first day of Pesach, it's not a work day. It's a day of rest. You have the Seder at night, you wake up the next morning, you go to Shul, it's Yom Tov. So it's Shabbos-like. It's a day of rest. But why dafka? You don't call Sukkot Shabbos. We don't call Shavuos Shabbos. Why is Pesach, again, in the context of Usvartim Lachem, that you should count, Sviras HaOmer, why is it called Shabbos? Question number five. And lastly, question number six, our final question for this evening, and then we'll see what we can answer in the next 15 minutes. Usvartim Lachem. Count for yourself. What is the word Lachem coming to teach us? The Gemara has drushas, but why not just say Usvartim Imachras HaShabbos, you should count. Svartim lachem, count for yourself? What does that mean, count for yourself? What is the word lachem coming to add that I wouldn't have understood without it? Okay, these are the six questions that I want to explore. Again, in light of our initial perish on the first four words of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, as being the ultimate lesson in humility. Again, let's just review the six questions very quickly. Question number one, if you want to teach humility, why give the Torah on a mountain at all? Why not give the Torah in a valley? Question number two, if the Chumash Vayikra starts with a small aleph to represent Moshe's humility, wouldn't it make more sense that when he's standing on Har Sinai receiving the Torah, Vayikra Elav Hashem, and Hashem calls out to him, maybe that aleph should have been small in that word Vayikra? Question number three, we know the students of Rabbi Akiva died during this time, and we know they died because they didn't treat each other with kavod. Why did they dafka die during this time? Question number four, why do we dafka stand erect for Sviras HaOmer? Right? In general, a Jew is not supposed to walk, and in fact, it's usur, according to the Shulchan Aruch, to be holech b'koma zakufa. And questions five and six, why is Sviras HaOmer, why in the context of Sviras HaOmer, is Pesach called Shabbos, which is an unusual way to refer to Yom Tov? And why Usfartim Lachem, what is being emphasized by the word Lachem? Okay, so let's try to answer all of these with one basic yisod when it comes to understanding the midah of humility and how it's applied to our lives. Let's go back to Mitzrayim for a couple of minutes. Okay? We came out of Mitzrayim. I'm going to put us back in Mitzrayim. I know the Torah says in three places you're not supposed to go back to Mitzrayim. We're going to go back to Mitzrayim just for a moment. When the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they first became slaves in Mitzrayim. How did that happen? How did it happen that a Mitzrayim that was so indebted to a Yosef HaTzadik for saving their world, for saving their economy, for saving their people, how did it become that the Jewish people became slaves in Mitzrayim? So the Torah tells us, Vayamas Yosef, V'chol Echav, V'chol Hadorahu. Yosef died, his brothers died, and the generation died out. And then, Vayakam Elechadosh HaMitzrayim Eshalo Yaldes Yosef. Explains the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, it was a gradual process. When Yosef was around, the Mitzrayim, not only did they not treat us poorly, they thought we were greater than them. But when Yosef died, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, then the Egyptians saw us as equal to them. When Yosef's brothers died, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the Jewish people became on a lower level than the Egyptians, but not so low that they would enslave us. But when that entire generation died out, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Vayamas Yosef, V'chol Echav, V'chol Hador Ahu, when that entire generation was gone, the Egyptians decided, not only are the Jews not more chashiv than us, not only are they equal to us, not only are they lower than us, but they're so low that we can take advantage of them, the Egyptians decided to enslave us. That was the new attitude that emerged in Mitzrayim. Explains Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Musar. He quotes the Rav Chaim HaKadosh. And he says, what happened? Right, what was this gradual process? What happened that the Jews became vulnerable to be enslaved after that original generation in Mitzrayim, that Choshev generation in Mitzrayim died out? So he says, there's really two ways to look at what happened. You look at the words of the Rav Chaim HaKadosh. It says that they had lost respect. Who lost respect? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, in such a beautiful essay in the Sichos Musar, says, the Egyptians lost respect for the Jewish people. But we also lost respect for ourselves. When that generation died out, the Jewish people, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, V'asheni mitzad b'nei Yisrael atzman. It's true, the Egyptians, as these great people died out, the Egyptians no longer looked at us the same way. But as long as the Jews still respected themselves, they weren't subject to being enslaved. But when we saw that great generation died out, and we didn't believe in ourselves anymore, and we didn't think the next generation would be able to contend with the Egyptians, then all of a sudden we made ourselves vulnerable in such a way that we were able to be enslaved. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, if a person doesn't believe in himself, it becomes very easy for someone else to take advantage of you. Leaving Mitzrayim was about Klal Yisrael understanding who they were. The Karban Pesach, which we spoke about also a couple weeks ago, as an expression of confidence against the Mitzrayim, is also not so much about attacking them, but also instilling confidence in ourselves. How many aspects of Karban Pesach are meant to express how chashuv we are, how important we are? Go through the Sefer Achinuch. Why do we eat it roasted and not cooked? Because roasted is the most tasty way to eat the meat. And when you leave Mitzrayim, you should know you're eating b'derech b'nei malachim. You're like a prince. You're like a princess. You're part of the royal family. That's why the Torah says you have to roast the Karban Pesach. Or how about the next mitzvah in the Sefer Achinuch? You're not allowed to leave over any of the meat of the Karban Pesach. Says the Sefer Achinuch, why can't you leave over the meat? You know why? Because rich people don't eat leftovers. They eat fresh fruit every day. A king doesn't eat leftovers. Right? He doesn't have to eat Shabbos leftovers. Not that there's anything wrong with that, God forbid. Right? Or how about a mitzvah tesvav, says the Sefer Achinuch? You're not allowed to what? You're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach outside of your chabura. Right, it's like a king who doesn't just walk into a random restaurant. The king knows exactly who he's eating with and where he's eating. That's why you register for the Karban Pesach. It's an expression of being a prince or a princess, being part of the royal family. Or mitzvah tazayin, don't break the bones of the Karban Pesach. Why don't you break the bones of the Karban Pesach? Because that's not the way that a royal person eats food. So everything about the Karban Pesach and our emergence from Mitzrayim was Hashem saying, you're chashuv, you're important. You have to know that you're a person who deserves kavod, who deserves honor. And if you don't hold of yourself, if you don't give honor to yourself, if you don't respect yourself, the Egyptians are going to take advantage of you. Hashem says, now it's time for you to start respecting yourself, and then the Egyptians won't be able to keep you as their slaves anymore. What is Sviras HaOmer? What is Usvartem Lachem? Let's go with the last question on our list. Usvartem Lachem. The Svarim say, Usvartem, sapir means like a sapphire, to shine. Usvartem lachem. Why do you need the word lachem? Because we're saying, you should know that you count. Not just that you should count, but a Jew needs to know on his way to Kabbalah Satorah that there's a complementary midah to the midah of humility. And that's that a Jew has to know that he's chashuv. I have to be humble if I want to be successful in Torah, but I also have to feel worthy of Torah on my way to Har Sinai. And therefore, when a Jew comes on his way to Har Sinai and he's counting Sfiras HaOmer, he does something that the rest of the year is aser. He stands, according to the halacha, b'koma zakufa. He stands up a little bit tall. He stands with a little bit of an outstretched neck. Because if I don't believe in myself, if I don't believe that I'm worthy of Kabbalah Satorah, I'm not going to be the recipient of the Torah. Why did the HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose a mountain, a small mountain, to give the Torah and to teach a lesson of humility? Why not give it in a valley? The Tzaddikim of Lubavitch explained. Because Hashem is saying, because every Jew is also a mountain. You can't think so lowly of yourself or you're not going to be successful as a Jew as well. Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was. Let's not kid ourselves. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was a very chashuv person. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was the transmitter of Torah. And yet it wasn't a contradiction to Moshe Rabbeinu being the humble person that he was. That when a person is able to look at oneself and have kavod for oneself, then I'm able to have kavod for someone else. What happened to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva? What happened to the students of Rabbi Akiva over the course of the Omer? How is it possible that they were not able to respect someone else? And how did that impact the way that they themselves were punished? Again, Sfiras HaOmer is this process of striking a balance between the opening words of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbol Torah MiSinai. Moshe got the Torah because he looked at Har Sinai and learned humility. But then he looked again at Har Sinai and he said, but it's still a mountain. And if I don't see myself as a mountain, I'm not going to be successful. It says in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, Ezahu Mechubad. Who is Mechubad? Who's given Kavod? One who's Mechabed Asabriya, someone who's Mechabed someone else. So when the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva didn't show respect for their friends, they lost respect for themselves as well. And that's a total failure of what we're trying to do during these days. We want to be able to be humble, but we also want to have a certain confidence, to be able to go b'koma zakufa. The Maharam Shik writes in his commentary on Chumash, in Parshas B'chukosai, the Torah says, in B'chukosai teilechu, if you walk in the ways of the Torah, Hashem promises a whole list of promises. One of the promises is, v'herbesi eschem. I'll make you numerous, I'll make you great. And you know what Rashi says on those words? Herbesi eschem, I'll make you great, bekoma zakufa. Rashi says, I'll make you great with an outstretched neck. You'll be able to stand up tall. So says the Maharam Shik in his commentary on Chumash, koma zakufa, he quotes the Gemara in Brachas that we learned before. I thought a Jew is not allowed to go bekoma zakufa. I thought you push away the Shechina when you go bekoma zakufa. And the Maharam Shik says, there's such an important difference between a person who walks around like he's the king of the world when it comes to matters of Olam Hazeh versus when it comes to spiritual matters. When it comes to matters of Olam Hazeh, don't for a second confuse yourself, delude yourself into thinking that any penny you've ever made in your life is koichi v'otzim yadi, is your own strength, is your own ingenuity, is your own efforts. Everything that you have in Olam Hazeh is a gift from Hashem. Don't you dare raise your head, pushing away the Shechina, ki'ilu it's you. But when it comes to spiritual matters, at the same time that we have this midah of humility, Moshe Kibbol Torah MiSinai, but a little bit a Jew has to what? A Jew has to carry himself like a proud Jew. Like a Jew who deserves the honor. Like a Jew who feels worthy of receiving the Devar Hashem. Because if I hold myself to be too lowly, then God forbid, I'm not going to feel worthy of Torah. Says the Maharam Shik, Im b'chukosai teilecho. If you walk in the ways of Torah, then v'herbesi eschem b'koma zakufa. Then you're allowed to walk a little bit with an outstretched neck. So what a delicate balance we're trying to strike during these weeks. We begin Pirkei Avos, we're coming out of the Yom Tov of Pesach. We're coming out of the Yom Tov of Pesach, which is the Yom Tov of Matzah. A Yom Tov of simplicity, a Yom Tov of humility. A Yom Tov of feeling the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem says, you got to be careful. Don't forget that while Har Sinai was the smallest of mountains, it was also a mountain. And therefore, when you count Sfiras HaOmer, stand up tall, b'koma zakufa, with a slightly outstretched neck. Yeah. Realize that when you're counting Sfiras HaOmer, you're reminding yourself that things that are counted are chashuv. You don't count something you don't care about. The Bas Ayin was a tzaddik who moved from Avrich, which was a small town in Europe. He moved to Sfas. And he wrote a magnificent sefer, the Bas Ayin, a chassidish sefer. He writes in Parsha Shmini, on the words, U'svartem lachem imachras ha-shabbos, hainu. The Torah is telling us The Torah is Mazir li Yisrael shiu nizharim shiu lahem b'chinas mispar. A Jew needs to know that you are a number. You are someone who Hashem is counting on. Why do we count Klal Yisrael? Why are we busy counting Klal Yisrael? We're always paying attention. We're counting Klal Yisrael. We get to the book of Numbers. We read Parshas Bamidbar. Right before you come to Shavuos. Rashi tells at the beginning, Hashem's counting Klal Yisrael. Because every Jew has to be accounted for. On the way to Har Sinai, we're thinking about this duality. On the one hand, if I want to have a Shaychus to Torah, I need to be a humble person. I need to give honor to others so that way I'll have honor for myself. But at the same time, I also have to carry myself a little bit b'kom zakufa. I need to remind myself that if I don't respect myself, then the Egyptians are going to enslave me. But if I can, in a proper way, carry myself in a way of honor, or distinction, of a Jew who is being mekabel the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then such a person is able to emerge from the world of Mitzrayim and strike that balance on the way to Har Sinai. No, so what questions didn't I answer? We answered the question why Har Sinai is a small mountain, right? Did we answer the question of the small Aleph? Yeah, now we answered the question. Why is there a small Aleph when Hashem speaks at night? Because on the one hand, you have to be humble. But you also have to, when Hashem talks to you at Har Sinai, you also have to know that you're talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And every one of us has to know that as well. We explained Usvartam Lachem, why the word Lachem, to know that you count. We understand now why we stand up tall during Sfiras HaOmer. What didn't we answer? We didn't answer the question of why Pesach is called Shabbos. So we'll end with this. Why is the Yom Tov of Pesach called Shabbos in the context of Sfiras HaOmer? The Kedushas Levi explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shabbos, the concept of resting, the time and place that it's appropriate to rest, is to follow the model of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created something, Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi, Melachto Asher Asa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished the project, Vayechal. When you finish a project, that's an appropriate time to rest. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, on the seventh day, He finished the project of creation, and He rested. But I saw such a beautiful explanation in the Sefer. That's not really the end of the project. Because creating a physical world was not the intention of the world. The purpose of creating the world was to create a Klal Yisrael. So when did that happen? That happened when Klal Yisrael were born, when the nation of Klal Yisrael was born, emerging from Mitzrayim. So why is the Yom Tov of Pesach, the birth of Klal Yisrael, called Shabbos? Because Hashem says, now that there's a Pesach, now that Jews are coming out of Mitzrayim, now it's really Shabbos. What do you mean now it's really Shabbos? Hashem says, now I'm really finishing creating the world. Now that I have a Klal Yisrael, a nation that's going to be the humblest of people, the people who are such a small nation as described in the Torah, a people who don't, God forbid, push away HaKadosh Baruch Hu's legs, that we're not docha the ragli shechina, because we live with that awareness that everything we have is from Hashem, but at the same time, a people who are going to have a certain confidence to be able to come to Har Sinai b'makabel the Torah. And therefore, yes, we a little bit break from the normal halacha of walking, a little bit bent over, we stand up tall during Sfiras HaOmer on our way to receive the Torah. So Amir Tashem, we should take this opening lesson, just four words of Pirkei Avos. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe got the Torah from Har Sinai. We should be talking during these days, the terrible pagam of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. They didn't respect others, but it reflected on themselves. That means you don't respect yourself. The Pasuk says. The one that you, if you respect, Hashem says, then I'll respect you. Make sure that we respect others. Make sure we have that confidence. Make sure we have that humility, all combined together in such a beautiful and harmonious way. And then Amir Tashem will be worthy of coming to the Yom Tov Shavuos and once again receiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Look forward to seeing everyone next week. Amir Tashem.